Hello, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Amy Hirsch, and today is Saturday, January 1st. Happy New Year! Right now, we are going through our Advent devotional guide based on the book of Jeremiah, and we'll finish that today. Each day during this series, we've read a portion of the book of Jeremiah, and you've also heard thoughts on the passages read aloud from the Advent guide from each of our readers. Today's scripture comes from Jeremiah chapter 52. If you have your copy of scripture, let's read together, and I'll be reading from the ESV today. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, it came to the point in Jerusalem and Judah that he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. In the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came with all his army against Jerusalem and laid siege to it. And they built siege works all around it. So the city was besieged till the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then a breach was made in the city, and all the men of war fled and went out from the city by night by the way of a gate between the two walls, by the king's garden, and the Chaldeans were around the city, and they went in the direction of the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they captured the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he passed sentence on him. The king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and also slaughtered all the officials of Judah at Riblah. He put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him in chains, and the king of Babylon took him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. In the 5th month, on the 10th day of the month, that was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard who served the king of Babylon, entered Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, every great house he burned down. And all the army of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive some of the poorest of the people and the rest of the people who were left in the city, and the deserters who had deserted to the king of Babylon together with the rest of the artisans. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and plowmen. And the pillars of bronze that were in the house of the Lord, and the stands and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all the bronze to Babylon. And they took away the pots and the shovels and the snufflers and the basins and the dishes for incense and all the vessels of bronze used in the temple service. Also the small bowls and the fire pans and the basins and the pots and the lampstands and the dishes for incense and the bowls for drink offerings. What was of gold, the captain of the guard took away as gold, and what was of silver as silver. As for the two pillars, the one sea, the 12 bronze bulls that were under the sea, and the stands, which Solomon the king had made for all the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these things was beyond weight. As for the pillars, the height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, its circumference was 12 cubits, and its thickness was 4 fingers, and it was hollow. On it was a capital of bronze. The height of the one capital was 5 cubits. A network and pomegranates, all of bronze, were around the capital. And the second pillar had the same, with pomegranates. There were 96 pomegranates on all the sides. All the pomegranates were 100 upon the network all around. And the captain of the guard took Sarai the chief priest and Zephaniah the second priest and the three keepers of the threshold. And from the city he took an officer who had been in command of the men of war and seven men of the king's council who were found in the city, and the secretary of the commander of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And the king of Babylon struck them down and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. So Judah was taken into exile out of its land. This is the number of the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the seventh year, 3,023 Judeans. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Judeans 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. In the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, graciously freed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seat of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim put off his prison garments, and every day of his life he dined regularly at the king's table, and for his allowance, a regular allowance was given him by the king, according to his daily needs, until the day of his death, as long as he lived. The book of Jeremiah ends with both a word of judgment and a word of hope. Throughout his prophecy, Jeremiah has been warning the people about God's coming judgment for their sin. As we journeyed throughout Jeremiah, we read about the wickedness and the idolatry that ran rampant in Judah and how Jeremiah called the people back to God. And yet they refused to listen to him. Because of this, Jeremiah warned them of the imminent judgment awaiting them at the hands of Babylon, God's instrument. This chapter is the long-awaited fulfillment of decades of prophecy. God's word is true and can be trusted, and he will keep his word to punish his people because they have refused to return back to him. There are real consequences for their sins, and the details here can be hard to read. The city will be devastated, the temple will be ransacked, and the people will be decimated or carted off to Babylon in numerous exile over the course of several years against their will, taken to a foreign land away from all they know and hold dear. God will keep his word, and the guilty will by no means go unpunished. But just as much as Jeremiah 52 is a word of judgment, it's also a word of hope. Notice how the book ends. The scene flashes forward to 562 BC. Nebuchadnezzar's son, Evil-Merodach, becomes king and extends grace to Jehoiakim, one of Judah's former kings. If you go back and do some reading on Jehoiakim, also known as Jeconiah, you'll learn that he was a wicked king who ruled for only a few months at age 18 before being taken off the throne by Nebuchadnezzar in 597 BC. Zedekiah, his uncle, became king in his place and would rule over Judah until he tried to rebel against Babylon. But for some reason, when Evil-Merodach becomes king, he shows kindness to this former king of Judah. Maybe Jehoiakim was likable, or maybe he was intriguing to the Babylonian king because he had been in prison for 37 years. But I think there's something deeper going on here. The book ends this way to remind us that God will keep his word and judge his people. A king from David's line eats at the king of Babylon's table. God has promised an everlasting lineage to David that a king from his line will always reign forever, and God keeps his promises too. The image of these two men sitting together at the king's table is a reminder to me that God isn't finished yet with his people. He will preserve a remnant for his glory, and he will continue David's lineage. And if you pick up Matthew's genealogy, you'll read about Jehoiakim's lineage. A heads up though, Matthew does refer to him as Jeconiah. And this lineage leads all the way to Jesus Christ. God is faithful to keep the promises he makes. He will preserve the line of David for his glory and for the good of his people. And through David's line will come the mediator of a new covenant. This is news to go tell on the mountains, hills, and everywhere. Not only that Christ is born, but that Christ, the Son of David, is Lord. Even in upheaval, even as God uproots sin through his judgment, there is hope, for he keeps every single promise.